Hey there, I'm Beth Connors, a midwife and mom of two, but also your birth bestie. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into everything you need to feel confident, prepared, and in control, from baby bump to delivery room, from practical tips to personal stories. We'll cover it all so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Birth Bestie Podcast. This week, I'm talking with Dr. Jess Dufault, a pelvic floor physical therapist who helps pregnant moms prepare their bodies and pelvic floor for birth, help reduce labor interventions to get a natural birth experience, and reconnect to your core and pelvic floor postpartum. In this episode, we are diving into preserving and maintaining pelvic floor health in pregnancy during birth and ways to support pelvic health during your postpartum recovery. I think pelvic floor therapy is something every single woman should consider accessing for an evaluation after their baby is born, or ideally even sooner. So let's hear from Dr. Jess about her experience becoming a pelvic floor physical therapist and how she is working right now with moms.
I got into this work basically after my birth. So I went into my birth experience as an orthopedic physical therapist. And as I reflected on my birth, like so many of us do, I realized that I wish I had understood more about the pelvis and the pelvic floor as it related to birth. And I decided that I was going to go straight into pelvic physical therapy training and become a birth coach. So my birth experience is really what took me this direction. And I've since supported thousands of women in their birth and their recovery process since. And I support people in a couple different ways. One is in Madison, Wisconsin. I have a small private practice where I provide physical therapy, pelvic physical therapy services. And typically I'm seeing people in the pregnancy or postpartum period. And then also I have an online business where I support people with birth coaching through a birth prep and postpartum recovery program as well.
Yeah, you're doing it all of it. So I love it. So I think we're going to kind of talk about, you know, each stage, pregnancy, we're talking about labor, postpartum, because it's all, you know, related. If you could kind of start about like in pregnancy, talking about like a woman's pelvis, how that really changes in pregnancy, you know, with all those hormone changes. I don't think we realize how much pregnancy has affected our pelvis.
Well, some of the early things that we might see is feeling like we are urinating all the time. So what we call urinary frequency, and sometimes even bowel changes, which tend to veer towards the side of constipation. So those things can start to happen a little earlier on, but also as pregnancy progresses, there's a lot of physical changes happening in the body and specifically to the core and pelvic floor. And one way that I like to talk about this is thinking about the core like a balloon. And this was a model I got from Julie Weeb, and it just really helps describe the core as it might change during pregnancy and how to work with it during birth and in the postpartum recovery. So the balloon is the muscles that make up the core. And so if we think about the top of the balloon being your breathing muscle or your respiratory diaphragm, the bottom of the balloon being the pelvic floor, and the center, like 360 around the balloon, are the abdominal muscles. And all of those muscles have to coordinate and communicate in order for everything inside the balloon to be really healthy. What's inside that balloon are the abdominal organs and all of the pelvic organs. So rectum, bladder, and in a pregnant body, a growing uterus and a baby. And so that balloon really has to accommodate for all those shape changes. So the diaphragm, actually, I've read before that it gets pushed up a whole 5 centimeters. And the abdominal muscles obviously really stretch out and lengthen in the front. And sometimes the pelvic floor has to pick up a lot of that slack. So sometimes in pregnancy, what we see is the pelvic floor is actually working really hard just to stabilize the whole system. And so this is where things can start to pop up, because we're getting some of these structural changes and that balloon is just not coordinating as well as it used to. So we might start to see things like diastasis recti. And the way I like to think about that is like a thinning of the latex of the balloon in the front. So it's where the tummy muscles sort of thin out at the fascia. We might see loss of urine when we cough or laugh or sneeze or jump, hemorrhoids, pain, all these things can start to happen around this time. So we can see a lot of pelvic health changes because of the changes in this balloon in pregnancy.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are the typical things you see in pregnancy? But you kind of just listed off a bunch of things that can happen. And we don't really think that's like our pelvic floor, that it's something we can even do anything about. It just kind of, comes along with the territory of being pregnant. So I think just bringing light to a lot of these different things that is affected with pelvic floor, like, is just so important. So if somebody is pregnant right now and they're listening, is there any recommendations you have, maybe could help avoid some of these things or make pregnancy a little bit more comfortable?
Yeah, so I think, having a solid core foundation prior to pregnancy can be really helpful. I also think that it's important that if you have pre-existing pelvic health concerns before being pregnant, that that's a really great sign to see a pelvic health physical therapist even before pregnancy. So we support people who've never been pregnant and have symptoms like hemorrhoids and constipation and pain with penetration and right, and these are all symptoms of potential pelvic muscle dysfunction. And so I think if somebody has those symptoms prior to pregnancy, that would be great to address in that time period as well.
Yeah, I think that's great too, that, learning more recently that, pelvic floor has to do with like constipation and things like that, that people don't always think that is the case. They think it's something else. So I think that's, yeah, that's just great to know that there's other things to do that aren't super invasive. Like, it's not invasive, the things that you are doing to help women. As far as the things that you kind of mentioned doing in pregnancy, does that help then in the postpartum period as well?
Yeah, so I love supporting people in pregnancy because a lot of what they're learning there, they're going to use during their labor and delivery experience, and it's the foundation of what they start working on in their early postpartum period.
Right.
So a lot of this, education and support that they're getting early on definitely, helps in that postpartum period to get a little bit of a head start on that healing process. And a lot of people see me saying I want to prevent, diastasis recti, and I would say, well, we can't really prevent that, right? It's a normal occurrence in the third trimester. We really don't even diagnose it typically till about 12 weeks postpartum. But, there's a lot we can do to work on posture and core strength and breath work just to minimize that impact. And again, so they have those tools in place to just get right into early postpartum.
Yeah, exactly. And the preventative, I think, piece of it is so important too. I know a lot of moms, the main concern is like, I don't want to tear during birth, which, understandably so. And there are things that we can do. I don't know what your thoughts are on like perineal massage and pregnancy. I know that's very controversial. But as far as like labor and delivery, is there anything that we can be doing to prepare our bodies for that big event of meeting our baby and making sure we have minimal tearing if possible, or really just reducing that risk?
Yeah, so perineal massage does come up a lot. And I think that there's not a lot of research on it. The research isn't great. I don't know that we're necessarily stretching the perineal tissue or preparing that for birth, but the reason I do still encourage some people to go for it and what I see the benefit being is that when we start to practice strategies like mindfulness and breath work and releasing the pelvic floor muscles, and being able to do that against the discomfort of the stretch at the perineum, when we practice that prenatally, I think it creates this, mind-body connection and pathway that we can draw on when we need it most, when baby's passing through the pelvic floor. So I like to think of it more as like, building that mind-body connection. And yeah, I mean, I think that we also want to make sure that the pelvic floor can really yield to baby passing through. Although it's not commonly talked about, a lot of us, pregnant or otherwise, are walking around with tension within the pelvic floor. And so being able to draw on breath work and strategies to help release that prenatally so that birth is more efficient and reduce risk for tears for sure. And I think, you know, in terms of reducing risks for tears in childbirth, like there are so many risk factors there, some that we can control, some that we obviously cannot. And I think that's what I help people learn about and help them to understand is what are the controllable factors. And, you know, one of the factors to consider is the provider. We know that depending on the place you're giving birth and the provider you're giving birth with, that's really the number one predictor about whether you'll walk away with a perineal tear or not during birth. And so that's something that I encourage my clients to talk to their provider about, what are their rates, and understanding that as a risk factor. Another one is actually episiotomy. So we know that episiotomy actually increases risks for larger tears. So trying to avoid that as much as possible. Obviously, there's a time and a place and right, medically necessary, but in really few instances. And so I think that's something to consider as well. And then positioning is really important. So, you know, the lithotomy position with birthing on the back with the knees pulled to the chest and wide, or perhaps in stirrups, is really the most common birth position. And yet this increases our risks for perineal tearing. And so, you know, I think, again, if they're, if the person is choosing to birth on their back, or if there's a medical reason to do that, you know, wonderful. Otherwise, other positions can reduce risks for tearing. And so that's a lot of what's in the online education program and what I go through with my in-person clients, as well as practicing some of those alternative positions. Because even with an epidural, there are still options. Right. And I think that, you know, you can't go into birth just expecting that everybody's going to be on the same page. And so I think it's really important that there's a plan and there's these discussions ahead of time, and birth partner and, you know, perhaps a doula are on board with reducing these risks for tearing, including alternative positions.
I feel like there's so many pieces there to take away. Like if you're listening to this, because it's like the pushing, like even the coach pushing versus a maternal led pushing, that to me was like part of my traumatic first birth experience, was just that 4 hours of pushing on my back, unmedicated, you know, and they were just like basically screaming at me, counting to 10. And, you know, I had tearing, hemorrhage, like I had a lot of different things going on. Could have probably been prevented, knowing what I do now, or just at least knowing that I had options and being able to switch sides or ask something different, request a break, maybe know my provider ahead of time. Because I actually had a midwife that she didn't do deliveries that I saw all through my prenatal care, and I didn't know that. So yeah, there's just a lot of different things that I feel like I myself wish I would have considered before, that I'm sure a lot of other moms don't even know that they should be questioning these things. Because then when you're in the moment, like it just feels like it's never too late, but it does feel like you're kind of just behind and you're like, okay, I wish I would have thought of that before or had this conversation before, but you're in like an active labor. So then as far as like after baby comes, you're in the postpartum period, is there like a recommendation that, or not recommendation, but like a guideline of what you normally tell your clients to follow in terms of like postpartum pain, what to expect? There will be some discomfort, right? But I guess what's normal and when should they come see somebody like you?
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously that's going to be variable for however birth unfolds, if there's a cesarean versus the extent of perineal tearing or trauma, right? But I think that we're often told to wait until 6 weeks to seek postpartum physical therapy. And one of the things that I want to say is that we wouldn't do a pelvic exam or an internal pelvic assessment until 6 weeks, but there is a lot of support for anyone who, you know, has questions or concerns. They want the mental, emotional support. Maybe they want some physical strategies. So I often end up seeing people for those educational reasons a lot earlier in that time frame. You know, even a week, 2 weeks Postpartum, we can do telehealth, which is really nice. So they can be in bed, still resting. They can have babe with them, and giving some guidance and some support. But in terms of addressing that discomfort, I think rest is such a huge one that not everybody is able to do, but for those who can, I think that's so important. And just having a plan in place prenatally for like your postpartum care plan. So how will you care for the perineum or any cesarean scar tissue? What's the plan for using ice or gentle warmth for pain management? Do you need some sort of support product, right? So I love compression support, either shorts or pants. They make really lovely support products nowadays that have a gusset that support the perineum early on and have like little tummy bands post cesarean, and oftentimes they're both, so you don't have to know ahead of time what kind of birth you're having to have some resources like that in place that can be really helpful for managing early postpartum discomfort and pain.
Yeah, because I feel like those first weeks, like you said, 6 weeks is just too long to see moms. I think usually it's probably standard that like at 3 weeks, nurses will call and just say like, "How is you and baby?" And I know I got that call and I was just crying the entire time. And I was like, "I'm in so much pain. Like, what's going on? Can I see somebody sooner?" And they're like, "No, not till 6 weeks." And then it was like, "If you're not having XYZ symptoms, like we can't see you till 6 weeks." And then I'm like, "Okay, I'll wait till 6 weeks." Just in so much pain, like I wanted to go to the emergency room because I was in so much pain, just being disregarded. And I actually ended up separating my pubic symphysis after having a vacuum delivery, and nobody like wanted to see me for that, and nobody really cared at the hospital, unfortunately. But I also didn't know it was normal, so I think just knowing that was before I was in birth work, and just knowing what is normal, and not just like having to go through what you're going through without having some support. So if I would have known somebody like you checked in and been like, you'd been like, "This is not normal. Like, we should see, figure something else out." And then, yeah, COVID happened and nobody was seeing anything for elective reasons. And that's when I really was like, "I'm going to go to the emergency room." But then I started feeling better. So I wasn't even diagnosed till I was 6 months postpartum. So it was a really long, terrible start to my motherhood. And it was, the whole journey of it. And I just feel like if I would have had information that, like, what to expect, what to ask ahead of time, like you said, postpartum support and having a plan in place on what you're going to do, who's going to help you, like making sure that you're resting is just so important, and just like a piece that I'm sure you probably also see is often neglected from moms. It's always that I don't want to tear, like, what is the quickest way I can give birth? But then it's like, well, there's actually other things we can talk about too. So coming full circle for sure.
Yeah, so not only, did your birth unfold the way, like in a way that was unexpected for you, but then
Yeah.
also feeling like you really lacked that early support in understanding, like, what was even going on with your body and what was normal, what wasn't. And, that's tough.
Yeah. But to have somebody like, provider that's going to actually listen to you and actually going to be with you from like the very start. And then I guess like how long do you normally work with patients? I know it's very variable, but is there a certain time frame that you could expect to work with somebody after you have your baby?
Yeah, so I typically support clients for, well, let's just say, I think it just depends on their goals. So let's start there, because I think if somebody is postpartum and they've had, a cesarean birth or maybe significant perineal trauma, and their goals are to return to running and CrossFit, there's a lot more work that we'll do together. And if somebody's, goals are to, hey, I just want to be able to move around the house and go for walks and play with the kiddos and whatnot, then that might be a little shorter time frame. But typically speaking, I'll support somebody 3 to 6 sessions, and sometimes those are spread out over weeks or even months. So a lot of it is the self-care and exercises that they can do at home in their own time.
Takes time, and it's not that 6 week mark where we need to be 100% back to where we were at before we had our baby, because I know that was like I was 6 weeks not feeling nowhere like myself, like a lot of other
Yeah,
moms too.
I always tell people that's the start of postpartum recovery. That is
Yes.
not the finish line. And
Yes.
so that's kind of the, especially for somebody who does want to get back into fitness, it's like, okay, this is day one, and now here's where we start with some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's very humbling when you're like an active
Yeah,
person and then you have a baby and you're like,
for
I need to do all the things for mom and all like for myself and all the things for baby, everything around the house. And then, okay, let's go work out because I'm supposed to be doing that, but I don't feel up to that because So we put a lot of pressures on ourselves, I feel like, as moms. And then, yeah, as far as like postpartum and like I know you mentioned a lot about rest. That's super important. What advice do you have for postpartum moms in terms of like self-care and making sure that they're taking care of themselves and, taking that time for themselves?
So even really early on postpartum, it is completely safe to start, doing some gentle breath work. And, I talk about this a lot with my clients in the online program, but there is a relationship. Again, if we go back to that balloon, there's a relationship between your breathing muscle and your pelvic floor. And so even just really calming, breath work can connect to that pelvic floor in a way that helps bring blood flow and circulation and helps massage any scar tissue and just helps the system sort of reconnect and function better. So breath work for many reasons, not just for pelvic floor health, but breath work early on can be really helpful. And just a walk, just walk program, starting very slowly, and we build that up. But going, getting out and going for walks is really lovely. And then, of course, I think seeing a pelvic physical therapist should be part of everyone's essential self-care practice postpartum, or at least some step-by-step, maybe postpartum recovery program where they're able to access that content from the comfort of home even. And things like chore delegation and not lifting heavier than the weight of the baby for a while, those are all really important things early on, because that was a mistake I certainly made. Was, starting to lift things way too heavy, way too soon. And just really taking that time to allow the body to heal before we start to put stresses and strains on it.
Yeah, and that connection piece that you said earlier too, I feel like when you have other children, I mean, even if you only have one child, but when you have other children too, it's like you want to get back into your normal routine, but I feel like you have to also prioritize your own care and get into a schedule taking care of yourself as soon as possible so that it becomes something that, you keep doing. Even if it seems like in the moment it might seem pointless, but it really is doing a lot of good things. Yeah, like you said, like C-section scars, mobility, things like that. Like that is such a process and we're not going to see results overnight. So it's something that just needs to be built upon. I think reminding ourselves that it can happen slowly and that's okay. But then also when you're taking care of multiple children, like, yeah, I remember like, you just want to come home. Like I had my 3-year-old and I was like, I want to hold you and lift you up right away. But, that's not always the best thing to do for your pelvic floor and recovery and then trying to, yeah, just to bounce back into it when you get home. It's hard. So yeah, just the resting is such a good point for sure. As far as like tips for, worsening things postpartum, is there anything that people shouldn't do in terms of like incontinence? I know a lot of people are afraid after they have a baby, they're gonna automatically not be able to have control there. And then also like your prolapse. I know that's a big concern for people. I don't know if there's anything that moms can do to prevent that from happening that they're in control of.
Yeah, especially really postpartum, I think there's a lot of factors there. So, if we one more time go back to that balloon, it's a very pressurized system. And so symptoms like diastasis, stress incontinence, hemorrhoids, prolapse, these are all pressure issues within that core balloon. So we want to be careful with how much pressure we're putting on that core balloon when it can't yet quite coordinate all the pieces together, as it did maybe prior to pregnancy. And so I think that The things that we would want to be really careful with early on is limiting heavy lifting, especially heavy lifting where we might be holding our breath. We want to be careful with getting constipated because that's a really big one that I see a lot is, hey, I felt fine for the first 3 weeks postpartum, and then I had this bout of constipation, and now I see and feel this bulge in my pelvic floor. And so, really making sure good fats and fiber and hydration and all the things to make sure that you try to avoid that constipation as much as possible. And then we just want to be careful with how we're returning to movement and exercise. Not that we want to fear movement or exercise. And, I do think, however, there's a very systematic approach to getting that core and pelvic floor sort of reintegrated and learning how to accept the pressure and the load of life and fitness. And so, it's nice to take a sort of slower approach for getting back into that fitness. So, for example, I might have somebody doing, mat-based exercises to start, and then we might come upright and do functional movement patterns and training. And then we might start light impact, and then we will start heavier impact before even returning to a walk jog protocol. And so, those are the things we're looking at as a way to reduce the risks for prolapse and reduce risks for things like stress incontinence.
There's a lot of things that we can do before, a lot of things that we can do during and after. So I think that is just such helpful information for moms. And I know so many moms can take away a lot of good information from you and from all that you have to offer. So I'm excited that they have this insight because I didn't have this insight when I was pregnant. So
Me
thank you.
neither.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Even as a physical therapist, I
I
didn't
know.
fully understand the pelvic floor and the pelvis and how to work with that in pregnancy and labor and delivery. Like I just didn't have that depth of understanding. And I often find myself saying, oh, I wish I would have known that prior to my birth, or why didn't anybody tell me that? And so that's kind of one of my goals and why I got into more of the pelvic PT end of things is to supply that information so people aren't saying, I wish I would have known that.
I know. I can totally relate to that, and I'm trying to spread the word as well. So, where can listeners find you and connect with you?
If anybody happens to be local to the Madison, Wisconsin area, you can find me at my clinic at mindfulmotionphysicaltherapy.com. It's a long one. And then I'm kind of all over online. So on Instagram at that pelvic lady, I have a free birth prep and recovery community on Facebook. It's called Balanced Body and Recovery. And of course, I have an online birth prep and postpartum recovery program that's on thatpelviclady.com.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. It was so great hearing from Dr. Jess about preserving and maintaining pelvic floor health in pregnancy and during birth and ways to support pelvic health during the postpartum recovery stages. I encourage you to go connect with her by following along on Instagram. She shares so much great information around this topic and has helped support so many moms. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back here again next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.